Dr. Craig, we've done prior podcasts on Ryan Bell, the former Seventh-day Adventist pastor who stepped away from his faith and embarked on an experiment to live without God for a year. You just never know when something is going to go viral, but this certainly has. This has gotten the attention of the press. You never know when you're going to have your 15 minutes of fame. He is certainly having his. Maybe it's because it's political, because he deals with lesbian and gay right issues. Mm. Maybe this plays into the hands of the press, of the liberal press, but Ryan
Bell. And certainly the new atheism.
Sure.
I mean, Richard Dawkins has a foundation that is seeking actively to out pastors who have lost their faith and get them to come out of the closet as non-theists. So the new atheism is eager to find people like Ryan Bell and to tout them as heroes of courage and conviction.
When Ryan Bell announced this, every atheist organization in tarnation gave him a platform and said, come on in. So he stepped away from his faith, just in case people aren't familiar with it. He says it was a gut-wrenching decision, but he said, I couldn't see any other way to find peace and clarity. He says, I encountered major theological differences with my denomination and evangelical Christianity in general, including the way it marginalizes women and LGBT people. So he also says, I questioned the problem of evil and God's general silence and inactivity. I sought out more liberal theologies and found them to be the slow death of God. Now I had to face the very real possibility that God does not exist. You've been highly saddened by this experiment that he's done.
I mean, you could see this result coming, Kevin. When we did our earlier podcast about how he was embarking on this experiment, we just said this is disastrous. The life of faith is not an easy one. It requires spiritual disciplines such as prayer, meditation, meaningful corporate worship, Bible study, fellowship with other Christians, and therefore to walk away from all of these spiritual disciplines and to ask what's going to happen to me is almost guaranteed to result in a loss of faith in God. It's not at all surprising. And so it's just so sad and so tragic that this unnecessary loss of faith has occurred now in this man's life.
This is kind of a familiar refrain here, how people want their transcendent cake and eat it too. He says, I was feeling small against the beautiful and terrifyingly indifferent sea before me. Then I started to feel grateful. What are the chances that I would be sitting on this beach right now, looking at this remarkable scene of beauty? I was struck again by how unlikely my existence is.
Yes. Now, that's certainly true that your existence is unlikely. But these feelings of gratitude, Kevin, that's interesting. Whom are you grateful to? There isn't anybody on atheism to be grateful to for your existence.
The universe? I mean, molecules bouncing around?
As he said, this is terrifyingly indifferent. I know when I've been swimming in the ocean, I am so impressed by just the relentless, impersonal power of these waves that come rolling in over you relentlessly. And unless you pay constant attention, you'll be snuffed out like a gnat. And nobody will know. No one will care. It is an indifferent, enormously powerful force. And on his view, as he says, this is just an indifferent universe without God, and therefore there isn't anyone to feel grateful to for your existence.
You have to sit in God's lap to slap his face. It's just what it reminds me of so often.
Yeah.
In our recognition of beauty and good and everything, but then...
Yes, that's right. I mean, notice also he recognizes the objectivity of beauty here. That it's not just in the eye of the beholder. Well, where do those values come from? And we'll see later on, he recognizes the objectivity of values as well, which I think is difficult to ground on an atheistic perspective. And he mentions here the problem of evil and the hiddenness of God as reasons for doubting God's existence. Now, of course, Christian philosophers have written extensively on both of those problems. There's a vast literature on the problem of evil, I think, which shows how difficult it is to mount an atheistic argument on the basis of evil in the world. And in another news story about Bell's decision to be an atheist, I saw a remark that I think sort of tipped his hand when he said, for this year, I studied all the arguments for God's existence and came to the conclusion that none of them was good. Now, Kevin, I have been studying the arguments for God's existence for decades as a full-time philosopher, and I still haven't plumbed the depth of all of these arguments. Graham Oppy, an atheist philosopher from Australia, set out to write a book on the cosmological argument for God's existence. He never got beyond the question of whether or not there could be an infinite regress of events and wound up writing a whole book just on the question of infinity, mm-hmm. and never managed to get to the rest of the argument. And yet Bell breezily claims to have exposed all of these arguments in the course of this single year, which made it very clear to me that the basis for his loss of faith is not intellectual. No one could responsibly come to that conclusion as a layperson in the course of a single year. So this is motivated by these deeper existential problems.
And here is where he quotes you, Bill. He says, quoting you, "If there is no God, then man and the universe are doomed. Like prisoners condemned to death, we await our unavoidable execution. There is no God and there is no immortality. And what is the consequence of this? It means that life itself is absurd. It means that the life we have is without ultimate significance, value, or purpose." Now, his response is to your words there, Bill. "But my experience is that acknowledging the absence of God has helped me refocus on the wonderful and unlikely life I do have. This realization has increased my appreciation for beauty and given me a sense of immediacy about my life. As I come to terms with the fact that this life is the only one I get, I'm more motivated than ever to make it count."
Now, what's evident from his response there, Kevin, I think, is that he hasn't understood the argument. My claim is talking about what I call ultimate or objective meaning, value, or purpose in life. And the claim here is one that many atheists themselves have made, is that without God, life has no objective meaning, value, or purpose. But that doesn't mean that you can't have subjective, personally invented values and meanings and purposes in life. In fact, my argument is that no one can actually live happily and consistently with the view that life is objectively meaningless, valueless, and purposeless. And therefore, in order to live happily, you simply make up a meaning for your life. You construct a set of values. You invent a purpose for your life. This is the only way in which you can live tolerably with atheism. And so when he says that he has found that now as an atheist, life is more meaningful to him and more precious and so forth, this only shows that he hasn't understood that the claim is about objective meaning, value, and purpose. And all he is saying is that as an atheist, he finds more subjective meaning, value, and purpose to his life. And that doesn't in any way refute the argument that atheism implies the absurdity of life without God or nihilism. One isn't talking about subjective attitudes. One is talking about the way the world really is, independently of your attitudes.
So you're talking about more than what we can construct. You're talking about ultimately.
Yes, exactly.
And that ultimate meaning is what would inform or undergird anything that we would construct, I think, Bill.
Sure, of course. And that, I would claim, comes from a transcendent reality, which is God. And Bell, I think, just doesn't seem to get the point. He actually says in the article, "I construct meaning in my life from many sources, including love, family, friendship, service, learning, and so on." On this view, meaning is simply a subjective construct, and someone else can construct a very different meaning for his life. Adolf Hitler can construct a meaning for his life, or the Ayatollah Khomeini can construct a meaning for his life. But none of these are objective. None of these are really the meaning for life. And then again, in the way he concludes the article, he makes the same thing. He says, we make meaning from the experiences of our lives. We construct it the way we construct any social narrative. Now, socially constructed realities are not objective. Take money, for example. Money or currency is a socially constructed reality. What really exists are pieces of paper and discs of metal, which are intrinsically valueless, really. But in a certain cultural or social context, they count as money. They count as currency. But if no people existed, if they were wiped out, then those pieces of paper and discs of metal would have no value intrinsically at all. It's a purely social construct. And similarly, this is what he says about meaning in life. It's just something that you construct, which is my point. That is the point I am making, that on atheism, there is no objective meaning, value, or purpose in life. These are just subjective constructions of individual persons, and therefore provide no ultimate answer to our deepest questions.
And if they're just our own constructions, what is that, just kind of a placebo effect?
Yes, it's a way of coping with a horrible reality, namely the atheistic world, this terribly indifferent universe in which we find ourselves that couldn't care if we existed any more than a flea. And so we pretend that our life has meaning, value, and purpose in order to cope, even though, objectively speaking, it really doesn't. So what Bell has said here doesn't do anything to refute the claim of either atheists or Christians who have claimed that without God, life has no ultimate meaning, value, or purpose.
This is what frustrates me, Bill. He was a pastor. Well, why didn't he correct how people were treating the LGBT people or women? And he says popular Christian theology is to forget this life and just look for a paradise one day. That's not Christian teaching. Why didn't he correct it then?
Exactly.
Now he's complaining about it. He's complaining that we neglect this world because of the sweet by and by and the pie in the sky by and by. Well, why didn't he correct it then?
I think it exposes his own philosophical naivete and lack of understanding. He had this caricature of Christianity where he says, according to Christian upbringing that he had, ultimately this life doesn't matter. On the contrary, that's his view. That's atheism, that ultimately this life doesn't matter. What Christianity says is that this life is infused with significance, and the choices and the attitudes and the things you do during this life have eternal consequences onto eternity. So that by having an objective significance, value, and purpose for this existence, this finite existence is now infused with meaning, value, and purpose, which are ultimately missing from the atheistic worldview that he's come to embrace. And it's sad that here was a pastor who had so poor a grasp upon basic Christianity that he walked away from this caricature and has embraced a view whose consequences now, I think it is clear, he still doesn't understand.
And he's affected millions of people due to this decision for whatever reason. I've noticed that there are now trends that pick up on the theme that he's done, A Year Without God. And he's got his website, ayearwithoutgod.com, things like that. I'm now seeing people say, A Year Without TV, A Year Without Speeding. I'm going to spend a year without being unkind. And they're picking up on this theme, doing their own websites. One liberal preacher doesn't believe in hell. He wants everybody to live like a year without hell, you know, without believing in hell, and see where that gets you and things like that. And so people have picked up on this in our social media environment and are now continuing this theme.
Has anybody, Kevin, to your knowledge, tried a year without atheism?
Maybe that could
that
be
would be an
trend.
Interesting experience, sure. Wouldn't it, for one of these atheists? I'm going to have a year without atheism.
That's
I'm going
right.
to act and behave in both my private and public life as though I am a Christian.
Come to my church.
Yeah.
We will feed you some fried chicken.
You know, and the question I wonder is, would such an experiment work, or would it become just an example of hollow hypocrisy? Because that's sort of a difference. You can live like an atheist for a year by pretending God doesn't exist and follow your doubts. But if you're an atheist and you try to live like Christian for a year, how are you any different than a religious hypocrite?
I'm
not sure.
Yeah,
and I think you'd have to have sincere doubts about your atheism.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be motivated by the fact that reality TV and reality podcasts are so popular these days. Be motivated to do this social experiment in front of the watching world and then get press on it, maybe a few sponsors.
That, you see, is, I think, antithetical to the spiritual life and the spiritual search, because
that's
it
right.
is egocentric,
yes.
self-exalting. This whole project very much draws attention to oneself because it's not carried on privately, but in this very public way.